Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you on Sunday, June 18, 2023. And my guests today are Chad Opitz, Samantha Ruddy, and Gianmarco Ceresi. Hello. Happy Juneteenth, everybody.
Hello.
Hello there.
Or I should say Juneteenth Eve. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name. He just appeared on our sister show, Wide World of Doug's, and he's here today. It's Chad Opitz. Hello, Chad.
Hello, Doug. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. What are you doing? You taking a break from putting up all those Juneteenth decorations?
I'm absolutely exhausted from that. That's what I've been doing all morning. Yes, sir.
Well,
you guessed it.
You got to celebrate as much as you can. And now it's officially, it's like a day off for everybody.
I think so.
Officially, so that's a nice treat, right?
Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna be busy putting up more decorations. It's not a day off for me.
It just creates more work. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just putting up more decorations all day. That's what I'm doing.
It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
But also joining us today, he's got a podcast, a very positive, life-affirming podcast called The Downside. It's Gianmarco Ceresi. Hey, Gianmarco. How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
That's good. Nice to hear. We got coast-to-coast entertainment going on here today because you're on the East Coast, yes?
Yes, I'm on the East Coast, so almost time to go to bed.
This is you could just treat this like a bedtime story that just get sleepier and sleepier as I continue. And
I'll tell you what, Doug, I had a very small weed mint, like 2.5 milligrams, like 2 hours ago, and for a second I was like, oh no, I'm going to be high on the podcast, and then I was like, no, that's okay. That is absolutely okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not really high, but it was 2.5. That was it. That's what I was nervous about, being too unprofessional.
Right. For me, 2.5, that's might as well say zero on there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't really.
It's what
do
I take
much.
Before spin class. I like a little to get into the music.
You like to have an edge, but the tiniest edge possible.
Yeah.
Well, I think I don't know if it's going to help you today or not, because our third guest is what I call a dangling champ. That's somebody who won a few weeks ago on the show and is back to defend the title. It's Samantha Ruddy. Hello, Samantha.
Woo. It's true. Hello. I did not come here to make friends.
Whoa.
Oh, it's going all right. Having a nice Sunday.
But you are meeting Chad Opitz for the first time, I understand.
I am. Yeah, I'm meeting Chad for the first time. Hello, Chad.
Hello, nice Samantha.
Chad, since you're meeting both of the other guests for the first time right now, what are your preconceived notions of either of them? They both said off the air, they both said they heard you were nice.
Yeah, it sounds like Gianmarco's a damn drug addict over there. 2.5, you monster.
I should have warned you that I was bringing a narc into the situation. Chad's not the
This is a bust. This is a damn sting.
Mm-hmm.
I've been casing you for a while, Doug.
Well, I appreciate all three of you being here on, it's not only Father's Day, of course, it's also Father's Day, I should say. I could have done a theme today for Recommendation Nation. That's where I ask all of my guests to recommend a movie before we get into the games. And, I would normally maybe do something like, name a movie about fathers and daughters, fathers and sons, just because it's Father's Day. But, this comes out late tonight, so by the time people are listening to this, Father's Day is over, so they don't really need a father movie. We can wait till next year on that one. But it is Juneteenth, so please recommend a movie that one would call, for lack of a better expression, black cinema.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that means to you.
Mm.
Chad, you get to go first.
I'm going to go with the 1974 classic Black Belt Jones.
See, I knew that this would be right up your alley and you'd pick something that perhaps some of us have never heard about.
You ever seen that one, Doug?
Tell me more about Black Belt Jones.
That is stars a karate champion, Jim Kelly. He was in Enter the Dragon the year before, and then he got his own, I think it's from the same director of Enter the Dragon, Robert Klaus, directed a movie just for him, came out a year later, called Black Belt Jones, and it's very entertaining. You get to see him fighting and kicking in some bell-bottom pants with a big, delightful afro. The ending fight scene is in a car wash, so everyone's like covered in soap. Pretty amazing ending scene. And there's a part where he turns the lights out and the bad guy goes, "Who's there?" And he goes, "Batman, motherfucker."
Oh, no.
And then beats up everybody. It's a phenomenal film.
That sounds great.
Now,
the last time you and I were talking movies was over at Wide World of Doug's the other day.
Yeah.
And just like you did today, you brought up a movie that I had not seen called Highway to Hell.
Yeah, the Chad Lowe classic.
And I watched it, and oh boy, what a weird ass movie that was.
Yeah. Oh man, aren't the makeup effects incredible in that though?
Really
cool creatures and stuff.
It had creatures and stuff. I don't know if incredible is the right. they shot it in 1979. And it's just got such a 70s. I mean, excuse me, 89.
Yes.
It's got such an 80s stank on it, but it came out in 1991. It came out 2 years after they shot it.
Didn't it go straight to HBO or something like that?
Something must have happened there because I never saw it, and watching it now, it just feels so 80s, even though it came out in the 90s. But anyway, I only brought that up just to let everybody know how suspect your taste is.
It's very suspect. It's true.
No, but I did enjoy seeing that movie because it's got lots of crazy shit in it. Like you mentioned, you got to watch it for for Gilbert Gottfried as Hitler is reason enough to see it.
Yes.
And then the whole Ben Stiller family,
yeah,
Jerry, Anne, his sister Amy, they all have cameos in the movie, which is very odd because they don't really do anything funny per se. They just all have weird makeup on and just act weird.
And doesn't Ben Stiller show up as Genghis Khan at one point too?
Yeah, he's sitting there in the restaurant with Cleopatra and Hitler.
Yes.
They're all at the same table. But Gilbert Gottfried as Hitler is a much more loquacious character. Ben Stiller as Genghis Khan, he just sort of sits there.
Yes.
All right. Not to get off topic here, but Gianmarco, what do you think is a good movie in this category?
I mean, I hope this fits. I saw this when I was quite young. I'm looking at it now. 14 or 15, Undercover Brother.
Oh, yeah.
It was a comedy that I was just like right at the perfect age where it was just the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I loved it so much. I loved the soundtrack. And I thought for a second, like, oh, I guess I'm really into funk music. But it was just the three songs that play in the movie. And that's about where it stopped.
You know, now that I've got these two movies, I'm envisioning I would enjoy a movie called Black Belt Brother, or Undercover Jones. Either one, you could switch words from either. They make good titles. Eddie Griffin was the title character in that flick. Right?
Chappelle's in it. Early Chappelle. Mm-hmm. And Neil Patrick Harris. You got Chris Kattan.
Now you're just trying to appeal to any white people that might be.
We got Chris Kattan.
It's got white guys in it. Do not panic. I guess one would say that it's sort of the hip black version of the police squad movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the same sort of tone, like lots of wacky gags kind of strung together in kind of a detective story.
Yeah. And I think it was just like funny as a kid to like see just like the man as the bad guy and like see like jokes about white people that I don't think other comedies I'd seen up to that age had really like, you know, used. Just like loving mayonnaise. And it was like, fucking white people do love mayonnaise. And it was so new to me.
That's one of my top embarrassments of being white. So everybody loves mayonnaise.
That was one of his spy gadgets was his watch. Cause I think he was like going undercover as white. And he had like a watch that would put secret hot sauce on the sandwich.
Undercover Brother. All right. Samantha, what do you got for us?
I feel like all of our picks have to be taken with a grain of salt. No pun intended.
Yeah,
because
you know, we're not putting seasoning on them. You know what I mean?
The three white guests Juneteenth episode. I don't know about this.
Yeah. It's a little.
The optics aren't great.
Take them out of video.
You know, it's better than ignoring this holiday, right?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. I've been having ever since you guys started talking about Juneteenth decorations, I've been like, is this disrespectful? I don't know.
I mean, it really depends on what the decorations are.
Well, of course.
You know, you got to get into the specifics. But, well, what do you think?
Okay, so I really like this movie, Dope. It was like kind of low budget, but it came out in 2015 and it had like a bunch of really big names attached to it. Like, I think it was produced by like P. Diddy and Pharrell, but it's real fun. And it's basically just like a black coming of age story that has like some elements of like Superbad in it. It's very much like party goes awry, chaos ensues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's very fun.
Yeah, the female lead is Zoe Kravitz, And yes. She's the girl that this guy, you know, wants to be with, but he's pretty nerdy, but he can really dance. He's got the moves.
Yeah, they're like all obsessed with 90s hip hop.
Yeah. That's a super fun movie that I'm genuinely aware of and like very much. For me, what sprung to mind is something that would be fun to watch today. It's interesting. We all just picked movies that are just basically fun. Nobody went the serious historical route. Because my suggestion, they just remade it, and I don't know how I feel about that. The original House Party.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Is just a super fun movie. The late Robin Harris plays like the dad of the main character, and he's really funny in it, and it's good stuff. All right, great job, everybody. Happy Juneteenth. And apologies if we're all too white for this, and we're gonna take a break and we'll be white back.
Jesus Christ. Oh man.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
All right, we're back. And it's time to play a game that I call ABC D's Nuts. It's a spelling game with a silly title. Since Douglas Movies is coming soon to the Bottle Rocket Social Hall in Pittsburgh. Ooh. As part of the WDVE Comedy Festival on July 15th. This is the first time I'm announcing this particular date on the show. Tickets just went on sale for it, so you should be able to get in there if you live in the Pittsburgh area. But I decided to use the word Pittsburgh in this game today. So here's how it works. We're going to start with Chad, then go to Gianmarco, then to Samantha. And Chad gets the first letter in the word Pittsburgh, which would be the letter P. Chad just has to name any movie that begins with the letter P from the history of cinema. And if he successfully does that, he stays in the game. So that's not really the hard part for most players. The trickier part is that a theme will develop. So then after Chad does the letter P, then we'll go to Gianmarco, who gets the letter I. And then, we just go through and spell Pittsburgh. T would be the first letter when we get to Samantha. But I wrote down a title with each letter that all belongs to a specific theme. So if you figure out the theme, you might be better at matching the name that I wrote down. If you match the title I wrote down, that's how you win the game. But, you know, no pressure. First game, but first game in the show doesn't mean much. You know, that's the second game that determines the winner. Are you ready, Chad?
Yes. So just any movie with starts with P.
Yeah. You haven't played this one before?
I think once. I'm going to go with Pay It Forward.
Now, see, of course, you have no idea what the theme is, so it would be an insane miracle if we happened to match on the very first title, and we didn't. But
I didn't think we did.
What a lead up.
Always worth bringing up, though, the Pay It Forward, because that movie, if you haven't seen it,
it's bonkers.
It's really crazy.
It's insane.
It's really like, it's just like, let's just get a bunch of actors together and just try as hard as we can to get an Oscar. And that is not how it's done. You know, it's just so everybody's got this juicy problems and secrets, and it's the way the whole movie plays out. Like, just the concept of paying it forward, like, one person gives another person their car and another person loans somebody a stick of gum. Like, the levels of paying forward are so wildly different. You know what I mean? That the concept just falls apart. Anyway, sorry to go off about paying it forward, but the movie that I picked that begins with the letter P, you could have said two titles, actually. Mm. I would have accepted Piranha or Piranha 3D.
I see.
Basically, the remake of the Piranha that was, you know, from a long time ago. All right. So that's the first answer, is Piranha. So we go over to Gianmarco with the letter I.
Independence Day.
Ooh. Great answer. Piranhas and aliens. You know, maybe you're on to something else. But I went with a motion picture called Into the Blue. Into the Blue with Jessica Alba and the late guy from Fast and Furious, but it was Paul Walker. T is your letter, your first time at bat. You get the T, Samantha.
I think I know what the theme is, but I can't think of any movies that start with a T. Even though it's objectively the easiest letter. So many things start with the.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the comes into play, it really does open it up to a long title.
I started on third base, and I don't think I can get home here. I'm going to say Terrifier 2.
Hell yeah.
Of course, that's a T movie, so you got that part of it right. But I wrote down something quite different. I wrote down, I wonder what the percentage is of movie titles that begin with the. I bet you it's as high as maybe 35% of all movie titles.
I think you might be right.
You know, it's way up there, because it really does throw a wrench into this game, because players are always like, well, what is the account for? And I just make it the begins with T. And the title that I wrote down is The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Brought it back around to Pittsburgh again. Can't mention Pittsburgh enough. I got a show coming up there. T is the next letter. There's two T's in Pittsburgh. Chad, did you know that?
Sure. I did know that. Yes. Okay. Like, and we can do the?
What?
That's included? We can say the?
You can, yes.
All right.
I wouldn't recommend it, but you can.
Okay. Well, I'm an idiot, so I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to say The Deep.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't write down The Deep. I wrote down The Titanic.
Oh, The Titanic.
No, just Titanic.
Oh, I should know. Damn, that was so easy.
They didn't need the on that one because, you know, everybody, there's not an other Titanic. Like, if you said Titanic on Jeopardy, Mayim wouldn't go be more specific.
Yeah.
Which one?
James Titanic. Okay. So, where are we at? S is the next letter, Gianmarco.
All right. Unlike Samantha, I do not have any idea of the theme at all. Showboat.
Oh, not bad.
That would perfectly fit into the theme, I think. The one I picked was Splash.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I had a feeling you wouldn't have chosen Showboat. That's more me selection. Classic musical.
Yeah, but I think it would fit. I do think it would fit in there.
Sure.
B is the next letter to Samantha.
I'm going Blue Crush.
Ooh.
Hang on a second. I gotta find something. Oh, here it is. Blue Crush is the right answer.
Yes. Nice.
Amazing poll from Samantha. Excellent. Ruddy. I can't believe it.
It's such a bad movie.
But not like Piranha 3D.
It does fit
That's
into
a
the
spectacle.
Theme. It fits into the theme of movies with water or fish.
Yes.
Which, you know, once you have a movie with water, fish are usually involved. But you nailed it. And that's the thing is I also waffled on my choice there. For B, I almost went with Big Fish.
Oh,
I'm so glad you didn't.
But I didn't. So it would pave the way to a win for you. Does anybody want to guess now that everybody knows the theme? Mm. What do you think the letter U? What do you think the match would be there?
Under the Sea.
That's what I thought. That's a song.
I don't know.
That's a good guess. I went with a battleship war movie kind of deal called U-571.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
That was gonna be my next guess.
Yeah. This next one's really funny. The letter R. What do you think for the letter R, Samantha? Since you're so good at this.
Okay, I never said I was good at this. I don't know. You can't put me on the spot like that. Rambo?
There we go.
Rambo, I like the
Real
Rambo
Big Fish.
Movie, the Rambo movie where he went on a cruise was one of my favorite ones. Rambo 6 Cruise Control.
Yes.
Is that like the Friday the 13th where Jason goes to space, but for Rambo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I that's one thing that I think is that Sylvester Stallone has really blown it with Rambo is that he just keeps putting Rambo in war situations. You know, who would love to see Rambo, you know, doing something else?
Rambo on the Showboat.
Yeah, exactly.
Rambo. Rambo.
Yeah.
Showgirls, but it's Rambo.
Yeah, anything. Rambo could just do anything. It would be fun. He could Rambo. He could take over the National Treasure series from Nick Cage. Mm-hmm. No, for R, this one's really silly because apparently there is an actual movie out there called Raiders of the Lost Shark.
Oh my God!
Yeah, might be something you want to. Check out sometime, Chad.
I definitely need to see that.
For G, I went with a classic motion picture called Gone Fishing.
Oh, yeah, the 1997 classic.
Yeah, with Pesci and Glover, the team that I don't know why they didn't take off as a team. I didn't know why we didn't get more Pesci and Glover movies. And then for H, I went with a film, more of a water movie than a fish movie, a film called Hard Rain.
Oh, Lord.
Hard Rain with, I think, Christian Slater was in that one.
Oh, Chrissy Slater.
Chrissy Slater.
Yeah.
You know, Chrissy Slater is in a town where he's like, hey, everybody, rain's going to come. It's going to be hard. And then no one believes him. And then, boy, that rain does come hard. I think that's what happens in it. I'm not absolutely sure. Samantha Ruddy, we can't say it enough, what an exquisite champion you are, and that you have won this game, and what you won will be disclosed as soon as we come back from these messages. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back, and Samantha gets to go first. That's what.
Oh my God!
We're pulling down the win on that last game. Whew. You get to go first. Not always an advantage there, but often there is. We'll flip the order around for this next game. So it goes Samantha, Gianmarco, then Chad. Everybody though will get an opportunity to play in a new game that I call Collaboration Celebration. Throughout the history of cinema, there have been many director-actor collabs that went so well that those combos, like I was suggesting with Pesci and Glover, those combos work together on multiple occasions. So in this game, I will name a filmmaker and a thespian, and then another pair, another filmmaker and another thespian, and then you have to tell me which pair worked together the most, pick one or the other, or your third guess would be the same, that they tied the same number of projects for both pairs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Kind of. I'm just thinking about how tie is a really statistically wild guess to make. You know, who's going with tie?
Yeah, it was an interesting option. But then, of course, like a lot of the games that I play on this show, you can luck into a point, because if Samantha misses it, then Gianmarco gets only two options to choose from. And then if he misses it, Chad would, you know, end up getting the gimme point in this situation. And whenever somebody gets a point, then the person who is up next goes first in the next round. Samantha, here we go. We got Samuel L. Jackson and Quentin Tarantino. Those two have worked together a time or two. And then another classic actor-director pairing, two greats, Jack Lemmon and Billy Wilder.
Okay.
So which pairs work together? It's the number of motion pictures. Which pair have worked together on the most motion pictures? Or is it a tie?
Let's go with Lemmon and Wilder.
You like Lemmon and Wilder? What do you think, ballpark? What do you, how many times do you think they work together?
No clue. But I could only think of two for Tarantino and Jackson.
You could only think of two out of the six times that they've worked together?
Oh, yeah. God.
But guess what?
Doesn't not a big matter. Tarantino head.
Doesn't matter, because Jack Lemmon and Billy Wilder worked together even more, seven times.
Yes! Damn.
Samantha, you're on the board. You lucked into that one.
I love to fail up.
I can't believe it's six. I could only think of two as well.
Well, you know, it gets tricky because in Kill Bill Volume 2, he's the piano player that gets
loaded
with everybody.
Like, that was the one that we were stuck on? Like, yeah. I didn't completely forget about, like, three movies.
And he's like a narrator in People Forget That His Voice Is Used In Inglourious Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other four are obvious: Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Hateful Eight, and Django Unchained.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Django.
But don't try to get me to name all seven Jack Lemmon Billy Wilders, because I'm not sure if I could do it. But they do have a total of seven. Mm-hmm. So they won that round, and Samantha has a point. Gianmarco, are you ready?
Yeah, you know, I think Samantha's underplaying her ability. She keeps saying, like, I don't know. But she wins, like, every time. I'm getting hustled here, but I'm ready.
Yeah, no, she's one of those sneaky champions that really is very, very humble, but tough to beat. Here we go. Will Smith, and director he's worked with on more than one occasion, named Barry Sonnenfeld, or Bradley Coops, Mr. Bradley Cooper, and Todd Phillips.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Which pairing do you think yielded more motion pictures, or is it the same? Is it a tie?
I feel just like Will Smith made a lot of movies at a certain point in his life. Still, kind of. So I'm going to go with Will Smith.
And you're choosing Will Smith and Barry Sonnenfeld made more movies than Bradley Cooper and Todd Phillips.
Yes.
That is incorrect.
Oh, no.
So sorry. So sorry. Chad?
Yes.
Leaves you two options. You either have to say that there was more Bradley Cooper, Todd Phillips movies, or that they made the same amount of films as Will Smith and Barry Sonnenfeld.
The only ones I can think of are both trilogies of Men in Black and The Hangover. So I'm going to say tie.
Interesting. You're wrong and you're right.
Oh.
You're wrong and right at the same time, because they both worked together more than three times. There's an additional movie. There was the Men in Black trilogy for Will and Barry, plus Wild Wild West.
Oh, damn. How'd I forget that piece of shit?
Right? And then with Bradley Cooper and Todd Phillips, they did the three Hangovers together. And then Bradley Cooper plays like a bad guy villain character in War Dogs with Miles Teller and Jonah Hill.
I totally forgot that one, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I counted on that, but you still managed to work it out in spite of not knowing exactly how many, because you did pick tie. So congratulations, you're on the board.
Hell yeah.
We're back to Samantha with round three.
Let's do it.
The pairing of Denzel Washington and Tony Scott, or Philip Seymour Hoffman and PTA, a.k.a. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with PTA.
Your choice there is PTA?
Mm-hmm.
More films with Philip Seymour Hoffman than Denzel did with Tony Scott?
Yes.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Finally.
Finally, I've fallen.
Yeah, it's finally happened. This is your chance, Gianmarco.
This is my chance. You said the other option was Denzel?
Denzel and Tony Scott, you know, Liz's yeah. brother. And, yeah. What do you think?
I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman and PTA made a lot of movies together. I've seen them all multiple times. Oh, I'm going to go with a tie.
Oh, okay. You think it's a tie that Denzel and Tony and Philip and Paul all got together the exact same amount of times?
Uh-huh.
That is correct.
Yes! Oh! I'm so proud of myself. You made me sound like I was an idiot for thinking. I felt so stupid. The way that you said it, I was like, as if I like what a dumb thing to say. But I knew it. I knew that Philip Seymour Hoffman had been in so many movies. And I was like, that's a lot to beat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because except for There Will Be Blood, you know, while Paul Thomas Anderson was making films and Philip Seymour Hoffman was alive, he was basically in every one of his movies. Hard Eight, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, and The Master.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel and Tony, I don't know if I can pull this one off, but I'll try. Man on Fire, Deja Vu, Unstoppable, The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, and Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. So those are both of those relationships yielded some amazing stuff, and we have a three-way tie in this game right here.
Holy Lord.
Pretty exciting. Chad, you're up first. You get the first opportunity to put another point on the board. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The collab between Meg Ryan and Nora Ephron, or the one between Tommy Hanks and Ooh. Stevie Spielberg?
Oh, man.
Which one has yielded more films, or is it a tie?
I'm going to go, man, because it seems like there would be a lot with Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg, but I actually don't think there is that many. Maybe there. Oh, I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg.
That's your final answer?
Final answer.
How many do you think they did together?
At least 4.
And you think that's more than Meg and Nora did?
Yes.
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. You figured it out, you son of a gun. Meg Ryan and Nora Ephron, her as director and Meg Ryan as actor has only occurred twice.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Rob Reiner directed her in When Harry Met Sally, which was, you know, the third part of the, I guess some consider it somewhat of a trilogy, even though the characters would have to be living in, you know, different universes.
What were the other movies?
For Tom Hanks?
Well, the you said that was part of a trilogy.
Yeah. You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
You know, the three movies with Meg Ryan and some guy. Mm-hmm. that trilogy.
Tom Hanks is the guy in a couple of them.
Yeah, Billy Crystal slipped in there in the other one. So,
oh, damn.
But Tom Hanks and Spielberg, the five times, I hope I can do this one, Saving Private Ryan, Catch Me If You Can, The Terminal, Bridge of Spies, and The Post. So, yeah. That was a big margin there, the 5-2. I didn't know how well anybody would remember how lucrative either of those pairings were. Okay, so Chad just picked up a point. That means he's got 2. But it's still anybody's game. Samantha, are you ready?
I am ready.
If you get this one right, you tie it up with Chad and force a tiebreaker. If you miss it, Gianmarco can tie it up with Chad and force a tiebreaker. If he misses it, Chad has ran away with this thing.
We can't have that.
Mm-mm. Unacceptable.
You just met. Give him a break. All right. Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese, or Hector Elizondo,
whoa,
and Gary Marshall.
Oh. Okay. Second one.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I just feel like the first one's too obvious. It's like picking scissors when you do rock, paper, scissors. I just feel like it's the second one.
It's an interesting strategy that you have there.
I'm going off vibes.
It's, you know, no matter how you play it, the most important thing to do is to win. And that is the correct move. The second one. De Niro and Scorsese, like, I thought this one might be trickier. I didn't know anyone would figure it out based on based on vibes. But De Niro and Scorsese have worked together 10 times as Whoa. Actor and director. And Hector Elizondo, on the other hand, is in every Gary Marshall
That's crazy.
Movie.
Wow.
Yeah. 18 movies. The 18 what? Times Gary Marshall directed a wow. movie, he had a part for Hector Elizondo. Most famously, his parts are kind of small in some of the movies, but his juiciest role was as the guy that runs the hotel in Pretty Woman.
Oh.
That's like the biggest role he played, but he had a role of some size in every Gary Marshall movie. That includes some classics and some not so classic ones, but I tell people, like, I've worked with a couple of directors where I was in their first movie, and I say to them, I want to be your Hector Elizondo. Just to guilt them into maybe giving me some dumb part in every movie they make. But so far, that those people have gone on to not make another movie. They just go one and done on me. What are you going to do? All right, so Chad and Samantha have tied it up. Gianmarco, please stick around for this exciting conclusion. We'll talk to you more in a second. Chad's up next. So, Chad, this is yours to win or lose.
Okay.
If you get this right, you win. If you miss it, Samantha gets a shot. If she misses it, then Gianmarco's back in the game.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. All right.
I didn't think you were kidding at all.
I didn't either.
It's fun to just at a whim just bring somebody back in. But I don't
think. Okay, Marvel.
Yeah, this should be the multiverse, the multiverse episode, where a different one where I won the challenges.
All right. Well, if everybody can agree then, because it seems like everybody thinks this should happen. If Chad misses it and then Samantha misses it, then Gianmarco officially wins the whole show. Whole
Holy
game.
Lord.
Yeah. Gonna go.
I will agree to that.
I don't know, actually I like that. I don't
want
that.
Samantha says no.
I mean, that would be crazy. That'd be such an exciting finish. But I don't think it's going to come down to that. Chad?
Yes.
The films, the pairings of actor Simon Pegg and director Edgar Wright versus the films and pairing. I love both of these. The films and pairing of actor Gene Wilder and director Ooh. Mel Brooks.
Oh man. I am gonna go Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright.
As more
than Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks.
Can you name them?
Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, World's End.
He's not in Baby Driver. He's
not in Baby Driver.
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
He's not in.
Oh, wait a minute. Can I change my answer?
No.
shit. All right.
But yeah, I believe that goes to Samantha.
Brooks and Wilder.
You're going Brooks and Wilder?
Yep.
Have collaborated as actor and director more times? That is also incorrect.
Oh, oh no!
The winner is Jen Marco.
Jen Marco.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
That doesn't seem, it's so unfair that it worked out that way, but so funny that it did, because I didn't think this was an easy one, but Gene Wilder is the producer's Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles. So yeah. That's why it's, it's three each, but it's a little of a tricky one because, you know, they both have had collaborations, I think, is like where somebody's producer on something that the other one did, you know, that kind of stuff. But like, it's just actor,
that's
as
what
actor
threw me
star,
off.
As actor star, it's a three apiece. And, you know, if it'll make you feel better, Samantha, we could call today a, you know, a three champion day.
Oh my God. Have we ever done that before?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Wow.
I'm sure there was some point where I made a game that was, you know, I fucked up and there was no, you know, there ended up being, you know, not a clear winner. But in this case, just the sheer amount of luck that Gianmarco just experienced makes me feel like he's the winner today.
Hey,
me,
boys,
yeah.
What do you think?
This is a
do
very
you
positive.
Share it or yeah, give it to a... Gianmarco.
What a Juneteenth victory for three white people.
Wait though, but Gianmarco is like 7 to 11% Italian.
Oh, okay.
I learned that on the internet today.
Wait, you said that? So it's not three white people. You're like it's 2.9 white people.
You're just so swarthy. You're gonna do your. Let's just say this. You know, winning isn't everything, especially on this show, because it just means you have to come back again. That's all you win. And of course, all three of you are welcome back anytime you want to participate. So let's, as the default winner today, Gianmarco, what would you like to promote?
Oh, just my podcast, The Downside, with Gianmarco Cerezi.
Yeah. Everybody check that out. Check out the socials. Those things still continue to exist. Mm-hmm, and you don't have any clever handles on your socials. It's just your name.
Just my name, at Gianmarco Cerezi. I'm the poor man's Matt Rife. Check me out.
And, all right. Thanks for being here today, dude. Samantha Ruddy, our other
Hello.
Winner today. I have to say that about each guest. Our other winner. Samantha, what would you like to plug?
Just my Instagram, at Samly Matters. Which I'm sure is probably why you just asked if there was a fun pun in the name. It's a pain, but it's too late to change it. So it's at Samly Matters. I have a special coming out later this year. So follow me on Instagram for updates. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Right on. Thanks for being here. And Chad Opitz.
Hello.
Tell us your stuff. You got a show coming up soon. You told us about the other day.
Yeah, I'm going to be featuring at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale for Nick Guerra on the 29th through the 2nd of June into July. So that'll be fun shows. I always like going there.
Yeah, it's like right on the cusp of Cupertino.
Mm-hmm. How'd you? Damn, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know my Bay Area stuff. My plugs include Seattle on July 9th, Pittsburgh July 15th, San Diego July 19th, and LA July 23. Those are all Doug Loves Movies tapings that you can attend. If you go to douglovesmovies.com, you can get all the deets and links that you need to make it happen. We got like a couple extra minutes here at the end, and what I do is I end every episode with the last line from a motion picture. And I often try to use a line from a movie that, you know, was mentioned or somehow came up during the episode. But let me just ask you, just out of curiosity, do any of you have like a last line in a movie that is like your favorite or that you found to be the most memorable?
A line. I can think of like, I can see the visual. I'm trying to think of the line.
The one that popped into my head was Clue when Michael McKean says, "I'm going to go home and have sex with my wife."
That's like, right up there with Dangerfield at the end of Caddyshack saying, "Hey, everybody's going to get laid."
Oh, yeah.
In Requiem for a Dream, ass to ass is the final line, isn't it?
Is it?
That would be incredible if so.
Yeah. It's either the last line of that or maybe Noah.
Yeah.
Sam, do you have any?
Nah. I can't think of anything.
It would have been funny
for some reason.
You'd have left already.
I just can't stop thinking about the end of Happy Gilmore, where he's like with the crocodile waving into the sunset, and Tuesday is Gone by Lynyrd Skynyrd is playing. But I can't think of a single word.
Right. I don't know what they say at the end of Happy Gilmore. There must be some last line. Maybe like the homeless guy says something stupid or something.
I feel like it might be about his grandma's house. I'm not sure.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows how it ends? But that's the thing, is so many movies have last lines that aren't inspiring at all. They just sort of like just the last thing somebody said. You know, they can't be clever every time. So I have some really bland ones, and weird ones will come up that I use at the end of the show. But thank you once again to all of my guests, Chad Opitz, Gianmarco Ceresi, and Samantha Ruddy. Hope to see all of you champions back here sometime soon, either this style or in person. And as always, this is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room